NTS.
And now.
Tomorrow Radio. Who knows its nature?
You know that I am your friend. You don't have to do anything.
Stand by.
And curiosity often leads to trouble.
Make yourself free and comfortable. Loosen your clothes, move around, stretch. Stretch like a cat.
The Guardian Radio Hour on NTS.
What a peculiar place to have a party.
Yes, it's the Guardian Radio Hour. Hello. I'm Kate Hutchinson, and this is the first in a new series of shows that The Guardian are doing live from East London radio station NTS. We'll be here in the NTS studio every Friday afternoon and inviting some of our favourite music-y people to tell us the story of a forgotten sound or scene from their record collection. We've got some pretty ace shows lined up over the next few weeks, from Richard Dawson, Matthew Herbert, John McIntyre from Tortoise, and some of our music writers like Alexis Petridis, Miranda Sawyer, Tim Jones and Harriet Gibson. But today, we are starting with a bang. I'm trying to keep my cool here because sat right next to me is the fantastic Nana Cherry. Hey Nana, how are you doing?
Hello, good afternoon.
Thanks for coming down.
It's a real honour. It's really, really, really good to be in. It's like a really nice vibe in here.
Such good vibes. And we can't wait to hear the playlist that you've got lined up for us. Can you tell us what the theme of the show is?
The theme is Jazz as Rebellion.
Sounds pretty good to me. Let's dive straight in with the first track, shall we?
It's my life I'm fighting for. It's my life I'm fighting for. No reality to try and take my pride and take my legacy. Your naked world has no respectability. I came a long way with no hospitality. It's my life I'm fighting for. It's my life I'm fighting for. Tired of hearing words of sympathy. Back on your own society. I'm not waiting, my tomorrow has to come. I ain't waiting, just take a look around. Yeah. It's my life I'm fighting for. It's my life I'm fighting for.
That's Leon Thomas. It's My Life I'm Fighting For. It's the Guardian Radio Hour. I'm Kate Hutchinson and I'm joined by Nana Cherry, who's picked this amazing track.
Yeah, it's like, it's a beautiful tune, and actually Leon Thomas, who was singing on this track, has ended up being like one of my favourite singers, you know, and I kind of, because, you know, a lot of the musicians that I grew up with, it was like, you know, they were family friends, they were people that were around, more like uncles and aunts and people we would bump into the street. I mean, quite often we would run into Leon Thomas, like downtown when we'd be out walking around, and he was just this kind of very tall, majestic guy who always wore like a lot of rings and African shirts and hats and leather trousers, and, you know, and had a great big kind of bear hug and a kind of deep laugh, you know. So certain people always kind of stick in your mind or make a kind of impression, and even when I was like kind of 4 or 5 or 6 years old, I would always recognize him and be like, oh, yo, there's Leon coming up the street, and he would sort of pick me up. And he was a really good friend of my mother's. They had like a very close thing. But then, you know, later in my life, he's made a very deep impression on me as a singer. And then, of course, he's got this very distinctive yodel, and apparently he had an operation on his mouth, and it kind of restricted his, he couldn't really move his mouth as much, so he started yodeling because he couldn't kind of get the words out, so he started making these amazing sounds, which is like very much his thing. And I think also, before I start ranting on too much, but I think also he was very much like one of the forefathers of, there he is, listen to that. But, you know, he was also very much a part of bringing the spirituality into the vibe of jazz with Pharoah Sanders and stuff and Alice Coltrane.
Amazing. Mm. So, can you yodel?
I cannot yodel. I'm not even going to try. That's why we listen to Leon.
So this idea of jazz as rebellion, why did you choose this as the theme for your radio show? What does that mean to you?
Because I think that, especially as I, you know, I'm in my life, still discovering things, I'm realizing more and more that it's about jazz, and that jazz is a mentality. You know, it's about looking for freedom in expression. And I think that, of course, if you go back to Charlie Parker and, you know, where the sort of the bebop and the free jazz thing started to really take shape. And of course, there was a stream that went more mainstream, and then there was the other way, which it's been such a huge influence, I think, on. I mean, there's a specific sound, maybe that's bebop and free jazz, but it kept going. And I think that in my backbone, like when I went in the studio with Rick Rigg and Panic the first time, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but it was jazz. You know, I just went into something that was in my, I guess, in my heritage and in my spine. And I think that it is a part of, you know, the spirit of punk. I think it's in the spirit of hip-hop and many other things, you know?
Of course, which are all genres that you've had lots to do with over the years.
It's about breaking down boundaries, you know, and maybe not always knowing the answers to things, but making a choice to be kind of fearless and following your instincts, maybe.
So you said this was part of your heritage. I mean, obviously your stepfather was Don Cherry, who was one of the pioneers of free improv, kind of rebellious jazz, shall we say.
It started very much there, but I think what was interesting also, you know, if you look at the spirit of rebellion, is that it also, a lot of musicians, because I think they found a place of expression, found this kind of world of a kind of freedom, also started looking to, I think because they started to really feel that they were members of the world, and a lot of people started, you know, experimenting with Indian and African music and other kind of so-called ethnic sounds, which sounds really whack. But I think that Don also really went deep into that vibe, my dad.
Well, I mean, obviously you grew up around all these people, Don, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, obviously Leon Thomas, who you just heard from, Ornette Coleman as well. But it wasn't just about the guys, was it, Nana?
No, It was not just about the guys. And I guess we're going to drop a tune by Jane Cortez in a minute. Is that right? Are we coming to her?
I think we're at that point.
And I felt that it was really important to put her into the mix. She's the mother of Donardo Coleman, Ornette's son. And she was a real kind of a central person in bringing a lot of the guys together. In fact, she kind of introduced Don and Ornette. She was living in L.A. Ornette had come up from Texas. And she had this, she kind of had the record collection. So a lot of, like, Don and Billy Higgins and the guys who were then kids, kind of in high school, used to go to her house and play the tunes. They all called her Janie. And, you know, like her and I think Alice Coltrane had a similar, they were very central and they were women.
Well, let's hear one of those tracks. This is, let's call her Janie,
let's
if that's what
Janie.
They called her.
Let's do that.
So this is Janie Cortez with the Fire Spitters, Maintain Control. That was Jane Cortez with the Fire Spitters, Maintain Control. Why did you pick that track? It's incredible.
Well, I think it kind of fitted the theme of what we're trying to do here, right? Which is to kind of to pull some threads through music's, you know? And I think that that to me was like kind of quite punky, and it really sounded to me of like the sound of kind of New York, or the kind of that sound of the more sort of like left field kind of alternative music in that time, whether you want to call it new wave, no wave, or whatever. And I think it's a kind of interesting insight into the cross collateration of stuff, you know. And that's why I picked it, because obviously she did all kinds of things. She did just like spoken word, and I think Ornette a bit further down the track plays on it, and yeah, it just has the vibes, right?
If that doesn't have rebel jazz vibes, then I don't know
right
what it does.
It's right there, isn't it? It sort of sums it up.
Did you ever meet her?
I met her a lot, yeah. She was a very, you know, dear friend of my family's. Fortunately, she passed away like 3 or 4 years ago. But she was always around, and, I would see her. We shared a lot of mutual friends and stuff. So, but yeah.
What other strong female role models did you have growing up?
Oh my God. I think I've always, music and people, of course, have always been central, but then there's always been something about the women, and I've always come back to the women. Another poet and writer that I listen to a lot is Nikki Giovanni. I came here and I met Ari from the Slits, who I kind of went on this kind of crazy adventure with. I don't know, my brain is just kind of ground to a bit of a halt, but Polystyrene, I guess, was a huge inspiration.
Yeah.
I kind of, in a way, I started singing along to X-Ray Specs Records and kind of found my voice through her. But I think, yeah, I think, the power and the beauty of women has always been a great feeder.
It's always been there.
And given me a sense of the endless possibilities. You know, we've got a very intense, real situation going on outside the window here.
Some love is
being shared and a few beers.
We're live in the NTS studio, and the beauty of this studio is that it's right in the middle of Dalston, and there's always people walking outside, there's people kind of popping their heads in and sort of getting involved. I think it gives the show a different vibe, though, which
it's
is
good. It's
super
real.
Fun.
It's alive.
So what I think is really interesting about that Jhené Cortez track, and I've actually never heard of her before, but listening to that, I do hear a lot of punk vocalists in her music, like Polystyrene, who you mentioned, like Ariel. So I guess it's sort of fitting that The Slits is your next track. I don't know if you want to introduce this one for us.
It's called In the Beginning There Was Rhythm. This is The Slits. Bring it. What? Oh, no.
No, it's not The Slits. Hang on a second.
Shit. So, number four. Oh.
This climate is time, it's songs, it's patterns, it's animals, it's humans, it's pattern, it's fucking, it's rhythm. God tells you there is rhythm. God tells you about roots of life. God tells you there is wisdom, and God tells you of eternal life. World, rhythm, life, rhythm. Heart, beat, is the beat. And body, rhythm, is rhythm. It's a pattern, but so what you live your rhythm on. What you beat your music on. Fucking rhythm, create rhythm. Earth, circus, circling. The button is a rhythm, or all around signs come from where the music and the tunes come from. It's beat, it's time, it's pattern, it's the same, it's rhythm. A silence! Silence is a rhythm too. God is rhythm. We only would have known God is rhythm. Life,
up from streets, from water, from the air. Makes us create our own rhythm based on your natural rhythm. That's what people advise us. Walking is a rhythm and it hypnotizes you into nodding your head in time with the rhythm. Like hands hit your legs, doing an offbeat as soon as you sit still. You start tapping your feet in beat on the bus and by yourself on the bus stop. In beat with the train and even more on the underground station. Silence! Silence is a rhythm too. You see, rhythm never stops. Rhythm goes on. And what happens after death? Where rhythm goes on, living was we on earth dying. And someone without rhythm is a someone without roots. Rhythm is the root of life. Rhythm is the root of life. You lose rhythm and you lose roots. You lose roots and you lose rhythm. You see, rhythm is God's gift. Rhythm shows a form of God and comes to those who know. Where rhythm keeps them living, whilst the others live in death. In the beginning, there was rhythm, but silence. Silence is a rhythm too. God appears in many forms, like one of them is wisdom. Through them you get wisdom. If you choose to know that God is wisdom, then choose to get wise. You are chosen to be. Choose to choose God's gift, wisdom. It's true that you will never, never, never lose rhythm. It's true that you will never, 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 never lose rhythm.
So that was actually, of course, the Slits. In the beginning there was rhythm, not the track I tried to play before. Of course, this being live radio, I'm going to play the wrong track from time to time.
Keep it real.
That's what we're doing on the Guardian Radio Hour. So what was it like for you, Nana, touring with the Slits at 15 and hanging out with Ariup? And that sounds like a pretty incredible time.
It was magical. Like, I had left school when I was like just coming up. I think I went like 2 or 3 weeks to eighth grade and dropped out and went to New York because I kind of grew up living half-half between Sweden and New York. And like, funnily enough, like talking about all the music that I grew up around, it was kind of like when my dad got asked to play with Ian Dury and Lou Reed and then with the Slits, I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. This is cool, because I was listening to them. And because I wasn't in school, he brought me along on the Slits tour. Because the guys in the who were then in the pop group, Gareth, Sega, Bruce Smith, you know, Mark Stewart, they were really into like Sun Ra and my dad's music, and so they were spending a lot of time with the Slits and had introduced them to that dimension of music. So they invited Don to come on this tour, and he took me along. So that's where I met Viv and Ari and Tessa. And sort of by the end of the tour, it was pretty wacky tour, because it was them, it was Don, who had brought Lou Reed's band with him.
Right.
And then Adrian Sherwood, who also did like all of the On You stuff, was there with Creation Rebel and Prince Hammer. And we were all on a bus together. It was like...
That's quite really a mix. Nuts.
Like traveling around, like we arrived in Newcastle to a center hotel, and it was like all these skinheads and kind of racist posses were like, kids were standing outside screaming. A few times when my dad was playing, people were like spitting on him, and they were just, you know, they were just like not into it kind of thing. Uh-oh. But anyway, so I met Ari there, and we became really close. And then I sort of went back to New York, and I came back, I guess, when I was like 16 or something. And
To London.
And I think I just felt something here that, for a start, I was really into the music, and of course become friends with Ari, but also just that there was a world here that I kind of wanted to belong to, and I felt that I could be part of. Me and Ari just went and kind of moved in at Ari's mother's house, and then we squatted a house down the road in Battersea.
That's very punk. That's a definition of punk.
It was totally possible. I mean, that's what you did. You know, I feel kind of really sorry for people, kids today, you know, with all these like crazy scenes where you're paying like $400 or $500 for a room. Yeah, literally.
Right.
You can barely move around. So yeah, we squatted a house and we lived there for quite a while, and we had a little gas meter that we dropped 150p into and caught it in our hand. And we just kept, or maybe that was the electricity meter. But it was just like, so we basically lived there for free and made home, and just, yeah, had an amazing journey together.
But it sounds to me like you were barely at home, because you guys were going out to loads of reggae raves and sound system parties. Is that right? You guys introducing each other to lots of different music.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I came with having just been in New York right then, and like 80 with having been, you know, the sort of hip hop thing really starting to unfold there. So I had things like Spoonie G and Africa Bambaataa and stuff like that in my hand luggage. And Ari was, we're like kind of in deep into the sound system culture. So we started going to, like, the first thing she took me to was Bally High in Streatham, to Jashaka. And it was just like stepping into another universe.
Brilliant. Mm. Well, maybe we should hear one of the tracks by one of those reggae dub kind of legends, I guess. This is a bit of a rarity, this one. It's Jah Warrior, Babylon Shuffle.
All of you shall witness the day that Babylon shall fall. I and I know that all of you shall witness the day that Babylon shall fall.
you hadn't left there 2 weeks later. Your hair's all over the bath. It's good to get you to go. I had to learn to say no.
So that was Jar Warrior, Babylon Shell 4. And the last track was Vivian Goldman, Laundrette. I'm Kate Hutchinson. This is The Guardian Radio Hour. And I've been joined by Nana Cherry.
Hey, yo.
In the house. Very exciting. And this radio show is themed around rebel jazz, which is, or jazz as a rebellion, which is a really interesting concept.
And a state of mind.
Oh, right. So can you tell us a bit about this Vivian Goldman track? Who was she? Was she a bit of a cult post-punker?
Vivian Goldman is like one of my really great friends, and when I kind of first came to town, like, she had this house, 145A Ladbroke Grove, which is where we all hung out there, and just about everyone that I know has lived there. Mark Stewart was living there. My friend Julian Firth was living under the stairs. Jeff Travis of Rough Trade was living upstairs. Me and Ari, every time we used to go to this Shebeen in Acklam Road around the corner, every time we were sort of on our way there, we'd stop at Viv's. And she just had this wall of records. She was writing for The Enemy or The Melody Maker, mm-hmm. I guess, at the time. And she'd actually come to my house in Sweden with my dad. He had met her when he was out playing with Old and New Dreams. And then this tune, you'd Madlib sampled that track, you know.
Yeah, he did, which gives me hope that one day Drake might sample something I write in the future or something.
There is hope. So, so it's a funny track. So I wrote to Viv yesterday, just kind of asking, what is the story behind Laundrette? And I got this kind of very long, funny letter with all of the people that are connected. Because basically she'd been singing with the Flying Lizards, and she'd done this kind of freestyle to the bass line, which mm-hmm. is Joy Jobin playing, who was in Aswad. Mm-hmm. And I guess she sang it to John Lydon, who was working on the first Pill album. And he was like laughing and thought it was really cool. So she recorded part of the tune when at the Manor House or whatever the Virgin Studios was called down in the countryside, and the rest of it here in London. And like there's this list of people. Robert Wyatt is involved in this track, Vicky Aspinall from the Raincoats, John and Keith, Bruce, my eldest daughter's dad, who is the drummer in the pop group. Apparently I'm credited on it as well, but I don't know whether I'm there. Carol Thompson, the amazing reggae singer, was apparently also credited on this record.
That's quite a lot of people. Who knows?
And it's being re-released. Quite soon on a French label. Maybe it's Viv's label. It's called Resolutionary, which is also going to have like some Flying Lizard stuff and other things on it. So there you go. So there's a little bit of history about this track. But, you know, it's kind of sweet because you can hear the mix of, you know, of that time of what was going
of
on.
Reggae,
the kind
of punk,
crossover, the reggae, the punk. The crossover, I think, is the wrong word to use. But I think just a marriage, the sound of the journey that was happening in music and unfolding.
And obviously you were having your own journey as well with Rip, Rig and Panic, who I think yes. we've got a track from next. This is Change Your Life.
One, two, three, four.
Hey, thanks for everyone on the Twitter, guys, at NTS Live at Guardian Music. We've actually just had Mark Stewart, who Nana was just talking about, retweeting.
Hey,
yeah, there we go. Let's do him a shout out.
Shout out to Mark Stewart. How are you, brother?
So if anyone else wants to do us a shout out, maybe ask a question, you know what to do. You need to tweet at NTS Live, at Guardian Music, and we'll see what we can do in the 2 minutes we have left of the show. So that was Rip, Rig and Panic, Change Your Life, which was obviously one of the post-punk bands that you were involved in, Nana. Can you tell us a bit about what you were trying to achieve with that band?
I guess, like, we probably wouldn't have called it post-punk, because I think that's exactly what we were kind of not about. We were kind of not about needing to fit into any categories, and I think that was the coolest thing about, without being nostalgic, because I I'm kind of anti-nostalgia, but I think what was kind of beautiful about that era was that punk kind of had to happen because it made all of the things that came after possible. And I think that, you know, punk, like free jazz, like hip hop, I guess, which is a little area that we're maybe focusing on right now, are places where, you know, you, the individual, you know, can maybe be, draw something from it that makes you feel more alive, or that in a kind of, where you sort of part of a movement. But I think very much it's about the self, you know, and listening to your own voice. And I think that very much comes from jazz. You know, maybe that wasn't such a clear wording just then. But I think it's all, to me, I've always felt that it was very connected. And Rip, Rig and Panic was kind of a deep thing for me, I guess, because I didn't really know where I was going or what I was doing. And, you know, Gareth and Sean Oliver and Bruce had formed Rip, Rig and Panic, and they just kind of called me up. I'd gone back to New York after hanging out here with Ari for a while. And I one morning they called me up and asked me if I wanted to come and sing with Rip, Rig and Panic. And I was kind of like, oh, I don't.
Yeah, I do.
I kind of put the phone down and had a bath, and then just sort of felt like, okay. I don't know if I can sing really, but I'm going to try. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I think I just felt very kind of safe in their hands. And I guess that what I had with me from where I came from, but also from having a kind of maybe been a part of a kind of a punk mentality, was just to go for it and to feel my way, you know, even like not necessarily knowing exactly what I was doing. It was like, and I guess that to me is what I would call kind of jazz.
I think, you know, also making it up as you go along.
And making it up as you go along. And I think, you know, a lot of the people here, you know, who had maybe come out of the punk thing were kind of drawing and listening to a lot of music and a lot of jazz and a lot of things like Sun Ra, so a lot of the or, you know, Dollar Brand or Archie Shepp. So a lot of the music that had been really much part of my kind of cradle music, I kind of found it in another way with my new family here.
So this was the time when you could rediscover jazz, like take it for your own, rather than it being just kind of part of your heritage.
It was there anyway. But I think we all just followed our instincts and went for it. And that was very much what it was about.
Well, this next track you've chosen is by Sun Ra and his orchestra, which I'm guessing is something that you were listening to a lot of the time. And it's very fittingly called Enlightenment.
Thank you.
That was Sun Ra and his orchestra, Enlightenment. Did I just play the wrong version, Nana?
Well, the version that I kind of wanted to play had June Tyson singing on it, and it was like a very different style, more like a nuclear war, you know, that Sun Ra track.
Absolutely.
It's a bit more raucous, but that was a nice vibe. It's all of, you know, it's all enlightening. It's all cool. It was Sun Ra, you know.
So at this time when you were in Rip Brigham Panic and you were kind of listening to all of this jazz stuff, I mean, was this kind of, did you see a lineage from jazz to punk? Was it and through to what you were making with Rip Brigham Panic and then back to jazz? I mean, do you see this through line between them all?
I think that there's a thread, you know, or many threads, or maybe there are like many tapestries that connects us all together. And I think that, you know, the if you look at the grain of what I think the musicians and the artists and the creatives were saying, you know, in the time of like when bebop and free jazz was really popping and then where it went to. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of repeating myself in a way, but I think that there was such a natural connection in the music of endless possibility, you know. And I think that musicians like Ornette Coleman or you know, a lot of the people that were around then, it wasn't just from the end of the kind of left field or maybe the sort of so-called post-punk posse. I think that also at the jazz end, you know, they were also drawing from that feeling of openness and kind of raucous expression. And I think that there was a kind of deep recognition. I mean, I used to sit with my dad and listen to The Clash, and you know, we always shared music. And actually a lot of the records that have been like my kind of guiding lights were records that he would go out and buy and bring back to the house, you know. So I think that it's about a journey, and I think that, you know, music and creativity is there's a sort of domino effect. And I mean, I know that, you know, like a lot of musicians, I mean, we lived in this kind of kooky building in Long Island City. We moved in there in 1977, and the Talking Heads lived downstairs, and Arthur Russell used to work next door, and Ernie Brooks from the Modern Lover lived in the loft right next door, actually where Arthur worked. And you know, there was definitely a shared thing, and a lot of them used to come up to our loft and kind of sit with Don and play and stuff. So I think that the, like I was saying before, I think just that thing of being, for us, you know, the kind of next generations, we've drawn and learned so much from that spirit and that sort of sense of activism and spirituality and, you know, non-conforming thing in music, that I think you could draw it way back behind us. I think when I listened to Ornette and the music that he was making with my dad and stuff, I feel that, you know. And I think it's nice for me because, like, on my journey, I'm meeting people constantly, you know, sometimes people that are like 20 years younger than me, they're like, oh yeah, I love, you know, Brown Rice, your dad's record, this music. So it's a timeless thing. And I think that's interesting also about creativity. You know, you can, there's always new places to go. There's always new corners to turn. There's always challenges. It's about pushing the boat out. You know?
Speaking of pushing the boat out, Nana, the next track that you've picked is pretty interesting. I can't wait to play it. We've kind of gone from jazz through to punk, back to jazz again, and now we're bringing this idea of jazz as rebellion into Mad Villain, all caps. This is the track.
So nasty that it's probably somewhat of of a travesty having me. Then he told the people, you can call me your majesty. Keep your battery charged. He know it won't stick, yo. And it's not his fault you kick slow. Should've let your trick hold, chick hold your sick glow. Plus nobody couldn't do nothing once he let the brick go. And you know I know, that's a bunch of snow. The beat is so butter. Peep the slow cutter as he utter the calm flow. Don't talk about my mom, yo. Sometimes he rhyme quick, sometimes he rhyme slow, or vice versa. Whip up a slice of nice verse pie, hit it on the first try, villain. The worst guy, spot hot tracks like spot a pair of fat asses. Shots of the scotch from out the square shot glasses. And he won't stop till he got the masses. And show him what they know not through flows of hot molasses. Do it like the robot to head spin to boogaloo. Took a few minutes to convince the average boogaloo. It's ugly, like look at you, it's a damn shame. Just remember all caps when you spell the man name. Like a poet, like baby doll. I bet she tried to say she gave me her all. She played ball. All bets off. The villain got the dice rigged. And they say he accosted the man with the sliced wig. Allegedly, the investigation is still ongoing. In this pesky nation, he got the best con flowing. The pot doubles. Now they really got troubles. Madman never go like snot bubbles.
This is the Guardian Radio Hour with Nena Cherry, and that was Mad Villain, all caps. Nena, what about that song embodies this idea of jazz's rebellion? Why did you pick that one?
I think just listen and go figure. It's there in the expression, you know. It's, and I think that, I mean, for me, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if you can see it or if people out there that have been listening can feel it, but I think that there's a grain, there's something in the spirit of all of the music that we've listened to today that's kind of connected, and I think it's where it's coming from, you know, and I think it's how it's said and what it's about. Like, all of these things sound different, but to me they sound different, and I love the fact that they're different, but they feel like they belong together, you know. And I think, you know, that's, you can call it rebellion, and you can also, you know, you can call it, I mean, I think rebellion is a positive word, but you can also call it that some, I don't know, yeah, you know, reasons. The many reasons why we're here and why it's, you know, important to continue to look forward. You know, we have all of this with us, so that's cool.
Well, speaking of looking forward, Nena, I read somewhere that you were thinking, or maybe you're doing a rap track with Fortet, is that right?
Actually, we've kind of done it.
Oh, yes!
So, I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
That's pretty exciting.
But, you know, I always go back to the word and to using rap to just say things maybe in a more blunt way. That's what it's good for. I think it all ties together. You know, to me, it all makes sense. And I give thanks for that.
Absolutely.
The endless possibility.
Well, Nena, thank you so much for coming into the Guardian Radio Hour on
NTS.
Thanks
for having me, more to the point.
Oh, it's been so interesting. And I'm sorry to anyone who's been listening in that we haven't had time to do many shout-outs, but I thought it was better to let the stories, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I think I maybe talked a bit too much. We were going to play more tunes.
No, not at all.
Can't stop rambling on, bloody hell.
Not at all. Well, I think it's kind of fitting that we're going to bring it back now to a track by Don Cherry. Maybe you want to introduce this one, Nena.
This song is a track off, I think it's off the Organic Music Theater album, which we made, because I was there. We were living at the Modern Museum for a whole summer in Stockholm, not in the dome, but every day my parents were doing these workshops in this dome, and different musicians were coming in and out. This is Utopia and Visions, or Visions and Utopia, Utopian Visions, but I also know it as Desireless.
It's a beautiful track. Let's hear it.